Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's Friday, which means that I get to be super excited about my weekend eve day, starting off with these amazing people. I genuinely look forward to getting up on Friday mornings, just so I can hang out with all of you. Yeah. Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I don't look forward to getting up most mornings, but, you know, hey, you do what you have to do. But hanging out with this crew is always a really good reason to get as much done as I can before the show, so I can do the show, so then I can go back and get more things done after the show. It made sense when I was thinking it.
Sadly, it makes sense. It just makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. I do have a question. You keep promising these amazing people in your intro, but all we ever get is us.
Well, Ben, here's how it is. If I don't keep promising you something, I'm afraid you won't come back.
Touché.
No. I was about to say something very inappropriate. No.
Well, as long as it doesn't give me an edit point, because I have no interest in editing at all.
Yes.
It was not that kind of inappropriate, but it was inappropriate.
Yep. And check, remember, you're on the Mac show, not in touch with iOS here.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm quite well. I ordered a Mac Mini yesterday, so I'm looking forward to that. One of the new M2s. Awesome. I've had a good week. A bit of a random week, but short and sweet, and I'm very happy. For me, it's the weekend eve, and now I get to hang out with you.
That's fantastic. And Dave, your timing is perfect for me to say, and how are you today?
Doing great. Oh man, what that was. That was the more perfect time than I could ever have here. Yeah, I just got off my meeting. I had a meeting with a vendor here, so I had to deal with that, but it ended quickly. So I'm glad to be here and have some fun with you guys today.
Awesome. I'm glad that you were able to show up just in time.
We literally say Dave's name and he appears.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah,
just be careful.
You say
don't
his name
say
in a mirror three times, and he shows up in your apartment.
Yeah. Ginsburg.
And hey, I mean, I feel really bad for Dave, because when people do that, I mean, he doesn't know. It's just suddenly he disappears from where he is and reappears in someone else's house, which could be hundreds of miles away.
Could be hella awkward as well.
It could be very awkward.
So like, he doesn't even. It's sort of like a paranormal experience, though. We hear about it all the time, but we can never catch it on camera.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, do you mind if I tell a quick story?
I would love that.
Because this is relevant.
Okay.
I obtained an M1 MacBook Air that had been, I think, abused battery-wise, and it would not hold any more than 1% of the charge. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I called Apple and said, and they said, you know, obviously you can take it in to a repair location. It's like, well, the repair locations aren't exactly convenient for me. Can I do a mail in? And they said, sure. So it cost me $20 for the mail in plus the battery replacement. I called them on Tuesday afternoon about 2:00 Eastern time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wednesday morning, the box is sitting on my front porch stoop. Okay. Put it in the box, took it to a FedEx drop point Wednesday around noon. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It arrived back in my hands at about 10:00 this morning, battery replaced. I mean, so basically I was without it for about 2 days. It went from Pennsylvania to Houston, replaced, back to me. I was getting emails where I could check in on the website the whole time to know exactly what was going on. I mean, this is service. This is what, and this is why you got to love Apple. And they told me what the price would be, and that's exactly what it was. So there were no surprises. I mean, it's a win the whole way around. So if you, and look, I understand, you know, the battery replacement, basically I told them what the problem was. They did it, sent it back. But the service is just, I've had this kind of experience before with more complex issues. Mm-hmm. And what they do is just phenomenal.
Yep, that's, I had to send in my Revision A Retina twice to get the battery or to get the motherboard replaced. Same exact service. It was back within my hand, back in my hands within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, same here. We've all had those experiences. Really
nice. Yeah, those are the reasons that you buy an Apple product.
Unless they sent you to an authorized service provider, that's crap. That's my experience here. I have one down the street, and I'm like, yeah. I'm not going to. I told Apple straight up, I'm like, I'm not going to them. Like, figure out a different solution. I'm not going to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't say that would have been my problem, Patrice, but it's just like, you know, for the $20 charge, shipping mm-hmm. charge, it wasn't mm-hmm. worth me driving 40 minutes each way twice. You know, and you know, for in gas and my time, you know, I was happy. Yeah. 20 bucks and like
mm-hmm. easy,
like Ben said, 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, 20 bucks for that shipping, that's actually cheap, because you're shipping a laptop overnight twice,
halfway across the country almost. So
you had to pay for the battery, I assume, right?
Oh yeah, it was way out of warranty. But mm-hmm. but you know that I knew that going in. No, that was fine. But
still, that's a great cost you was a battery.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to tell that story far and wide, you know, when we talk about Apple service and everything. And I love taking things into, you know, a store if I'm local, or if I'm let's say in a city where there is one and I'm going to be there for mm-hmm. a couple of days, that's fine. But, you know, here it's just, I could have taken it somewhere, but it's just the convenience factor was huge. So there you go. Sure. We'll start out with a positive story.
Awesome. Well, we'll follow that up with, I'm going to look at it as a relatively positive story. Happy birthday, HomePod.
Oh,
you were not expecting that, were you?
No.
Which it's kind of the reason why I did it, because I figured from me, no one would expect me to say, hey, here's a kind of positive story, and then talk about HomePod. Because
the surprise is rather, I've talked positively about the HomePod, but the surprise is rather, it's been already 5 years. Like, yeah. How's that possible?
Yeah. It's weird because it feels like my HomePod should still be under warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it feels like I've had one my whole life.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the last 3 years, 3 years kind of are like 50. So
yeah,
at least feel like 50.
Okay. So. This makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So I bought the HomePod pre-order. So I had it on launch day, and while it's no secret that I have had ongoing problems with the S Lady on my HomePod basically since it shipped, the audio quality I think is really good, and it is a fantastic music streaming device. And before I got the HomePod, I was actually doing music streaming from an Echo, one of the full size Echoes, not a Dot. So it, or at my desk through my Mac, but it's not like I wasn't doing streaming music before, but when I got the HomePod, like immediately that became my go-to device for streaming music, even having just one. So no stereo pair. And to this day, that's probably the device that's playing music in my house, just because it's the easiest and it's reliable and the sound is good.
Yep. I second that.
Yep. I have my HomePod Midi's replaced a Sonos One set. I have not looked back because these are half his price or half the price and sound just as good. And you know that these being this good, just imagine what the full size is like.
I don't have to imagine. There's one sitting right
Yeah.
over there.
Yeah. And Ben, you know, that's an interesting comparison to take the Sonos One, because which is a fine speaker. I've got a couple of them as part of my surround. But the minis sound good. They don't sound great, especially if you put them up against the full size HomePod. But if you just, you know, wake up in the morning, you know, walk into your office or wherever you're going to be cold and turn on music on the HomePod, it sounds fine. It's just, you know, if you start comparing it to other things, it's like, yeah, okay, it's $99 and you know, that's great. And that's all a lot of people are ever going to need. And for casual listening, it's more than adequate. Absolutely more than adequate.
I found that the HomePod Mini is, more than adequate. And doing a stereo pair of HomePod Minis completely changes the sound profile.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've said that, and I've got to try that, Jeff.
Yeah, I think I might have to buy another one.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised. So when I got the initial Mini, that one, I put it here in my office. And then later on, I got a deal on another Mini, and so I put that in the bedroom. So I had one speaker in each room. And it was last year at one point. I thought, well, why am I doing just one Mini in each room? I have two. Why don't I just make this a stereo pair? Because in the office, I can hear the full-size HomePod that's in the living room. And I did, and immediately realized that I was incredibly stupid for not having done that earlier. And I mean, it makes enough of a difference that if something weird happens, and I actually have all of my HomePods on Wemo switches because I periodically have to restart them, and I don't want to have to like climb under the bed to get to plugs and anyhow. So every now and then, one of the Wemo switches will randomly shut off, and so in the bedroom, I'll start playing music, and I know that one of the HomePods isn't playing, even without seeing the glowing light on the top, because the sound is wrong.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyhow, but on the original HomePod, while I never felt compelled to get a second one, because of the sound quality that I have on it, if I were ever able to find a really good deal on another original HomePod, I would get it so just for the stereo pair. But that's not going to happen because no one is getting rid of their original HomePods, or at least not at a reasonable price.
I think some people might actually upgrade. I mean, I've thought about it, to be honest. I have three of them, bought them 5 years ago. And I'm actually thinking, like, my mom has an, I would say at this point, old, really old Sonos system. Like, I don't think she can even use the new app and so on, like the abandoned that version.
Oh wow, okay.
So I'm like, maybe I should just give her the HomePods I have here and replace them, because
Or
I
give it to
would
Jeff.
benefit from the Thread network. Well, I could give them to Jeff too. That's true, but shipping to the US was a little
That
expensive.
would be kind of expensive. Yes. Yeah.
Jeff, you know, Patrice brings well, Patrice brings up one thing I just wanted to highlight. You say that a stereo pair changes the profile completely of the minis. I don't believe I can say that about the full size, but I mean, not that the pair doesn't sound great, but I find this the full size ones, the old full size ones, not speaking about the new ones, to be,
OG.
you know, great. Yeah, the OG HomePods. just great, you know, standalone, even without as a stereo pair. So the fact, I'm really intrigued by the fact that you say it changes the sound profile. I wonder if that's something subjective or objective in the software.
I mean, my experience with even the full size, I have a stereo pair here, it does change that. It does change it. And the reason is very simple. No matter how much trickery Apple does with bouncing off sound and whatever, trying to make it more full, it is one sound source. And we have two, like we have a pair of ears.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always going to be a little bit better if you have more speakers. It's the whole reason why you have surround sound with like 5, 7, 10, 50, I don't know how many speakers. That's the whole reason. More speakers makes it, to some extent, better for us. Which the difference between adding sense. One more and one, I mean, I would say for sure the difference for a mini is probably bigger, like if you add a second one, than for a full-size HomePod, like between one and two.
And maybe someday I'll get to test that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have one in the bedroom and two here, so I have that to some extent to that comparison.
Nice. Ben, I do like what you dropped in the chat room. Ben is showing off. He has a 27.1 surround sound mm-hmm. system, which wow. is basically just means every surface in his place is a speaker.
That's true.
Oh, God, I'm not that rich.
But you are rich, is what you're saying.
You're rich, huh?
Yeah, you are saying you're just not that rich.
Yeah, I mean, if it's all Mac, if it's all HomePod minis, I mean, that's like, what is that, $2,800? Not that much. Well, it's still a lot of money, but...
Yep, I'm rich compared to someone, say, in 27 BC.
Okay.
All right. Well, it depends on which person 27 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. Muller in the chat room. We have CEX. You can buy secondhand. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any store like that in the US.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah. I mean, there are stores here that will buy stuff off of you so that they can turn around and sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so something where they buy it secondhand and then just resell it and will even ship it to you. I've never found anything like that here.
Actually, there is one store I remember I've been to on Hawaii. There is a store that like they buy and sell. So there's probably like small independent stores like that somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I've been there just, with Jerry. So
I never thought of that. I guess, I mean, Gazelle and some of those others, I guess they don't deal in HomePods.
No, they're just laptops and mobile devices.
That is actually a good point.
That's called a pawn shop.
Yeah, actually, yeah. But now that you mentioned that, like one of the resellers here, they actually have a website. Like they basically two websites. One is where you sell your stuff, and one is where they sell the stuff that they bought from you. So maybe that could also exist somewhere.
It could be. Muller's saying that he checked online and CEX used to be in the US, but they're closed. My guess is they're closed is because none of us knew about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They were located right next to the Lidl stores.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes that really funny for me is, which I'm sure is the point, I have no idea what that store is either.
Let me put it this way. They're a competitor from the Aldi's. To Aldi. Mm-hmm. They technically exist in the United States, but they haven't quite found out how to make it over the Appalachians.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I just checked. They're mostly like Virginia, Georgia, like East Coast, basically.
Okay. See, we miss out on all the fun stuff being here in Colorado. I mean, we do our best to get by with all of the mountains and beautiful wildlife, and it's just not the same. Yeah, I guess I'll just have to go skiing again. Actually, to do that here, you pretty much have to sell internal organs because it's gotten so expensive. Anyhow, go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, every time I've skied, I've pretty much given up an internal organ.
I would rather give up an internal organ than go skiing. So,
yeah. Well, okay, Patrice, here's how I go skiing now. Go to the mountain and get on the lift, go up, do a couple runs, just, kind of get warmed up. And then stop at the lodge that's at the midway point on the mountain, mm-hmm. and go in and sit down at the bar and drink and then eventually have lunch and have another drink. And then go do another run and end up back at that mid lodge again, because by that point, well, you need a little something just to keep going. Mm-hmm. And then you get down to the bottom of the mountain where there's the big lodge and multiple bars and restaurants, and there you go. So basically, yeah. I spend a lot of money to ride a lift so that I can ski to a bar.
Yeah, see, but I can do all of that without the annoying snow. And the
you
ski.
Can. But there's just something about, okay, for me, there's something about about coming in out of the snow on the mountain and having to take off like 30 layers so that I don't burn up, get too hot sitting at the bar while I'm having a drink. I'm not making this sound fun, am I?
No, but you're looking at me in the same way all the Austrians here look at me when I say that. They all think I'm crazy. I'm like, no, I just don't like snow.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to like snow. Tell you what, I will like it enough for both of us.
That's perfect.
Awesome. We have plenty of it here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like it that much.
Keep it. You can keep
it. No, that's not fair. I like the snow a lot. I don't like Eastern U.S. snow. That's not fun snow. Because that's just like wet, icy. It just sucks the soul out of you. It turns gray and black because it sticks around for so long. And hey, on that happy note, how about if we talk about another Apple thing? This is a big shock. Like the last story, it came from Dave's notes from In Touch with iOS.
Glad to be of service, Jeff.
Dave, I love you for that. Thank you.
Love you too.
Here's the deal. There are new reports that Apple is working on a hardware subscription program. And I'm bringing this up because I'm just assuming all of you have opinions on this. And so this would be something different from the iPhone upgrade program. And my interpretation of the news is that it's you pay a fee, and on whatever set schedule Apple has, they swap out your hardware, your laptop or whatever it is.
I would subscribe to that. I mean, it's never going to come here. Because, I mean, we don't even have the standard iPhone update program. So, and that has existed for I don't know how long in the US, for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would love to have that.
I feel like, as someone
who sells their devices every couple of years anyway, and then buys a new one, that makes total sense.
I just feel like, this is a nice little piece. I do take a little bit of exception with, it will differ in three different ways. It will be a true rental, not an installment purchase scheme. I don't see the iPhone thing as a scheme, but I need more details. I need to know.
Technically, it is a scheme. However, we tend to use the term scheme in a negative way.
Yes.
So, channeling my inner Brian Chaffin and being mostly pedantic, they're right. But we don't know how they intended us to read that word. So maybe they should have chosen a different word.
Yeah. I don't feel like it's pedantic or not, there's a definite perception. And
oh, absolutely.
It conjures a perception. But I need more details. I need to know, what the terms are going to be as far as length.
Oh, yeah.
I need to know what the costs are, what configurations they're going to be, and what the costs are for those. If my trade-in time, happens to fall at a time when I'm in the middle of a big project and really I'm not able or don't want to, make the transfer at that point, am I going to be penalized for it, or am I going to be forced to do it, or exactly how is that going to work? So, they can report on this stuff all they want, but it's like so many things, until we get some details, it's borderline clickbait.
Yep. I mean, this is essentially the phone version of a car lease. I need to know what are the terms of that lease, what the buyout options are, and whether this will make more financial sense to me than Apple's existing upgrade plan.
Yes. Now, I look at Apple's upgrade program. I look at that as a lease, because we do know all the terms. There is a buyout, and with this, it's sounding like there's no buyout. But yes, like Chuck said, there's a lot we don't know. This is kind of clickbait. I have a hypothesis, and I did share, I think I shared this last night on In Touch with iOS. I think that if Apple does this, at least initially, this will be for business users and not a consumer thing.
Yeah. And I mean, those already exist. You can, as a business, already subscribe or lease your equipment, which has some, I don't know in the US, but in Europe, it has some tax benefits because you don't own the device. So it's not an asset that you have to manage. It's just a software subscription, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference there. Yeah, but I mean, and I think that's the difference here. Like, it's not you pay for it for 3 years and basically it's paid off and there might be there might be a purchase price at the end. It's more you pay month to month. There might be a minimum amount of months you have to pay for, but if you keep paying, you keep the device. And when you stop or replace it or whatever, you get a new one.
Or send and there's a definite advantage to this to Apple. We have gotten to the point where devices are so expensive and so powerful that, I mean, you're not on that automatic 2-year cycle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I am 3.5 years in on my iPhone 12 Pro Max, and it feels just as fast as the day I got it. Right now, there are no real reasons for me to upgrade. If I had that option on a lease and there would be essentially no reason for me not to upgrade, I'd have a new phone every year.
Which so, I do. I mean, I upgrade every year only because I talk about it every year. I want to have the latest phone. So that's mm-hmm. that's my reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the difference there is you don't have to shell out whatever $1,500 right. exactly. or something up front, and then after you sell it again for, let's say, $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And depending on what, one of the other tricky things though is as Apple releases new hardware, if you're on cycle or off cycle, mm-hmm. What are the options? Let's say I've signed in to a 12-month or 24-month lease and the M3 comes out or the M4. And all of a sudden, for me, for what I do, that has new capabilities that, you know, or a new iMac or whatever, you know, whatever it is, but the new piece of hardware has capabilities I really want and need. Now, what are my options? Am I going to have to stick it out for a few months till the end of my lease? Can I upgrade that lease ahead of time? You know, this is where, I mean, there's so many different things, because it feels like the phone is one thing, but the Mac situation is a whole different matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's something else I'm thinking about this. With a payment plan, you have to pay all the sales tax up front on that.
Right.
I'm wondering if it were just a pure monthly subscription, whether the sales tax would be included monthly on that, since you're not buying the device.
Well, too bad we aren't accountants, but yes. I have no problem pretending like I am for a moment.
You play one on television.
Yeah. Well, Ben, in my experience, taxes on lump sum purchase versus a timed out purchase operate in a different way, and so your tax burden becomes lower when you're doing a subscription type service. I am not an attorney. I do not play one on TV.
Mm-hmm. But it sounded really good, Jeff.
Thank you.
It did.
It's, you know, it's all about speaking with a feeling of authority. So, yeah. I don't know if I would do a program like this. I would, like you, Chuck, I would need to see a lot more about the details before jumping in. So,
yeah. Oh, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want details. Yep. If you want the legal implications of this all, listen to Sparks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What standpoint, Ben? I mean, I understand what you're saying, why you would ask David, but what, I mean, legal implications, there aren't a lot of legal implications. It's a contract. Apple writes the contract. You enter into the contract. You operate by the terms of the contract. So if Apple screws up and does something stupid, which for that kind of contract, they're going to review it, you know, 500 times before it goes out to the public.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So, the entire general counsel's office will be looking at that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it just, I mean, just like a car lease, it'll either work for you or it won't for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My feeling is that ultimately it will come down to basically setting up a spreadsheet and running the numbers and looking at what is the best financial move for you. And there you go.
Which is what we all do anyway, already.
Yeah.
This would just add another column to the spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's exactly why I have this M2 Pro MacBook Pro sitting on my desk right now, and Chuck, you actually, all of you have played a part in me making this purchase. So I hope you're all happy. But it came down to the numbers. Even though my Intel MacBook Pro is still fine, Ben, someday. What'll happen is someday I'll get a hold of that card, and then I'll find out that it's actually that's your decoy card, and then I'll be so disappointed. Anyhow, I bought the computer now so that I can sell the Intel MacBook Pro at a better price. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, take us down a rabbit hole for just a second. How will you be selling that? Will you be eBaying it, or will you be doing something local? What are your thoughts on what the best way is for you to get your maximum return?
Well, since this will be the first time that I have sold one of my computers in a very long time, because usually they get handed down, and there's actually still a possibility that could happen here. I don't know. I will probably start with eBay and Craigslist and just see if I can find something local that works out and make it easy.
Yeah. More curious than anything. That's all.
Yeah. The different services that I can sell it to, like what Gazelle, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They take a lot, big chunk.
Yeah. And what I was going to get as a trade in from Apple, unless I was just desperate to offload the computer, there was no point in doing that.
Yeah, I've done Gazelle and
me too.
And Declutter.
Oh, Declutter, I forgot about that one.
You know, I mean it's kind of a toss up because they take the hassle out of it. And you're paying a price for them taking the hassle out of it.
Sure.
You know, they tell you what they're going to pay you. They take a look at it to make sure you represented it accurately. And then they pay you. And that's it. As opposed to having to meet somebody, you know, at the police station or at the bar or, you know, even worse, potentially let them into your home to, you know, complete the transaction.
Never do that, people.
Yes. Amen.
Always do the transaction in a public place. Yeah, preferably a place where, you know, there are security cameras.
Well, Jeff, I don't know about how it is there, but here, usually the police stations welcome those kind of exchanges, you know, to take place in a lobby or something, because, you know, that way, you know, that if there's any hanky panky going on, you know, you've got backup all around you and the backup have guns, which is even better.
Yeah.
You know, I've never thought about doing one in a police station. I've sold iPads and iPhones in the past. And when I've done that, it's always been in a Starbucks. Because it's very visible, it's high traffic, and there's cameras watching everything all the time. And it feels less intimidating. Plus, I can get a chai or a London Fog. Mm-hmm. So it's a win all the way around. But police stations, interesting. Yeah. I suppose if someone was going to try and scam you when they buy your product or your old gear, they would be far less likely to do it in a police station, I would hope.
You know? I have to say. I never thought about using the cops as my own muscle in transaction. I like it.
I didn't exactly say that, Ben, but okay. That's the way you want to view it.
No, I'm pretty sure Ben just nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Use the cops as your own muscle. Yeah. I've marched in protest to police actions here in Boulder. Maybe they wouldn't let me use their lobby. I'll have to think about it.
This would be a chance for you to make amends.
Yeah. You know who I don't have to make amends with because they're already awesome?
TSO host.
Yeah, they are awesome. Here's the deal. What TSO host does is web hosting. And they help you buy domain names, and they have amazing support. And what they're doing is taking what they do so well and using that to make it possible for us to be here. TSO Host is giving us the bandwidth we need so we can stream shows to you live every single week. They're giving us the space we need on the server so that we can have a website and we have a place to host all of the recordings so you can watch or listen at your leisure later on. And the rare times we have needed support from them, they have been so on top of it. And here's an example. When was the last time you saw the British Tech Network website down?
Never.
Can't remember.
I've seen it. I thought I broke it.
Patrice knows of an incident or instance when the website was down, and it wasn't even TSO host's fault. No, but I bet they helped you get it back up and running super fast.
Didn't have to. I knew what I did, so I had to fix it. I've honestly never really needed their support. There was
Okay.
no reason to. It just worked.
Now I have heard from some people that have said that they've had amazing, amazing support from TSO hosts. Actually, Ewan's one of the people that has said that. So anyhow, they're really great at what they do, and they're being incredibly generous by helping us out. So what we can do to support them is just give them some online love. Go out on social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. And when it comes time for you to buy a domain name or set up a new website on a server somewhere, take a look at TSO hosts because they're really good at what they do. And when you get your domain name and your hosting package, all of that together, and it's in your cart, use the discount code BTN20 and you get 20% off your order, which is wonderfully generous. And we really, really appreciate what TSO Hosts is doing for us. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here. And speaking of support that's impeccably awesome, Patrice, can you please tell people where to find the chat?
Yeah, of course. So we do have an awesome live chat. We have right now a couple people in there. Like, we have Muller Biker. Hi, Muller. And we have Bob Beach. And of course, all of us are in there. And some other lovely people as well. And yeah, you can, like, during the show, talk to us. And we post the links in there, or Jeff does. We're going to have the cool things in a minute. So all of that is happening while we're recording this. And this is, like, very easy to do. You head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com on Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, or on Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show if you're into the non-Apple side of things. And then you can talk to us live. It's that easy. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your, like, in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. That's why we do this. That's why we record it, why we post it. You can still get to all the links. Like, unfortunately, unless you have a time machine, live chatting from the future, not possible. But you can at least still get to the links and see what was talked about. Might be interesting read. I don't know. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a little calendar that pops up, and you have to select the date. And the date that you select for today is the recording date of this show, which is the 17th of February, February 17th, 2023. And then
Patrice,
you see everything.
You're awesome, and thank you for doing that. Dave, since you didn't show up, like, right before I started doing the introductions, I didn't get a chance to say at the beginning of the show, thank you for being so generous and letting me crib off of your show notes every single week.
You are welcome.
Yeah, you're awesome. All of you are awesome. And now it's time for the cool thing. Oh, wait, before we do that, we got so chatty. I didn't expect the first two topics to go so long. We never even hit the third topic that I had planned for today. So anyhow, the point is, I never have to have a backup topic ready in case we're running short, because that never happens. So
yep. More thank amazing you for me talking.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for being so great at talking and making my job so easy. Okay. Now let's do some cool things. Who has the first cool thing? Oh, and that would be Ben.
Okay. This is something that I have had for many, many years. Has lasted me a couple of Macs. And has been absolutely rock solid. It is from a company called Goldspin, but I'm sure you're able to get the same dock from several different OEMs. It is essentially a vertical stand for laptops. I have used this with a Revision A MacBook Pro, Retina. I have used this with my Intel Mac Mini. And when docked, I have used this with my M1 Pro MacBook Pro. God, Apple, work on those names.
No kidding.
They're not Sony yet, so it's all good.
Yeah, but this is a fantastic little dock. It is, it's adjustable by two little Allen screws. So you can have it set up to just perfectly fit whatever device you're using with it, being Mac laptop, Mac mini desktop, or PC. And it's available in different colors that will roughly match your Macs. It's also pretty decently priced at $26.
Nice. You know, I keep trying to figure out how to come up with a way to do vertical for my laptop on my desk, and I can never find a stand that I think will make it work right.
Oh, this will do it.
Yeah.
Question for those of you who have done this, because I've never run a Mac in closed lid mode. Does that allow you to hook up another monitor as opposed to just using the internal one? So that, like with a Mac, let's say a MacBook, an M1 MacBook, I think you can only connect one external monitor to that. Does this let me connect two external monitors because I'm not driving the internal screen display?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I haven't gone down from a pro since the iBook.
Well, then, Ben, I mean, with a pro, you know, you can connect two externals.
Yeah.
Could you connect three now if you run it in clamshell mode?
No. I've actually done up to four.
No, really? You cannot run more than what, like whether the internal one is being used or not. Doesn't work.
So you, whether the internal is on or not, I'm limited to whatever it is. Okay.
Yes. All right. It's a bandwidth limitation simply.
Okay.
Makes sense. I've never seen it addressed in all the articles about clamshell mode or whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
No, that's Apple really says it somewhere on their website. Yeah, it's a really good question. Apple says it somewhere on their website when they talk about the displays. They say, like, doesn't matter. Like, says somewhere in a support article, I think.
You know, if I was still writing Apple articles, I would absolutely write this up. I would do it a whole tips article on everything you need to know about running your Mac in clamshell mode. And that would be one of the things that's in there.
Okay. Well, somebody out there, get on that.
Yeah, that's right. Free article idea for you right there. Yeah. Cool. All right. Then, Dave, looks like you are up next.
Yes. I know people here don't like Windows, but there's times that you have to run it, and there's times you have to have it in a virtual environment because you don't want to have to maintain a separate Windows machine to do support that you have to do. Well, I've been a subscriber to Parallels forever, and Parallels has been around for a long time. They just got good news yesterday in the case of Windows and Windows 11, and the ARM-based version is now officially being supported by Microsoft. And Parallels has been made an authorized solution for doing so. So for those of you who have to, again, run apps and stuff that in that environment, it's great. Right now they have Parallels has a pretty awesome bundle here that they're selling. It's $99 if you don't have a license, or $69.99 if you have to upgrade. But they have all these other apps that you can get in this bundle, including you get Snagit, you get Fantastical, PDF Expert. You get a full year of Text Expander, WinZip Pro for Mac, and you get Parallels Toolbox, Card Hop, and so many others. And that's a pretty awesome deal as far as some extra software on this as well. So it might be even worth getting the license for a year for Parallels and even getting all those other apps, because you add all those apps up, it's like about $800 worth of apps. But I really like Parallels. I think it works really well for what I need. And not only are you doing virtual in for Windows, you're also doing virtual in, you can do virtual Macs as well, if you want to do some testing and not have to mess up your machine in order to do it. On the M1 series, M2 series, it's a little more limited. I think you only can do Ventura or modern. When you have Ventura, you only do the base operating system. I haven't seen them come up yet as far as offering any of the ARM-based versions of macOS besides Monterey when this came out, and then now Ventura. But I would venture to say that Parallels is going to change it. Now they can be rest assured that now Microsoft's giving them the option. Now people can download Windows 11 and be able to install it on an M1, which is great. So it's a great app. I've had it, like I said, I've been a customer for years and years. I always like to have tinker with Mac OS and Windows and Linux too. You could do Linux and any other those based OSs. So
nice. Are they the one thing I didn't hear, and I'm sure they're not, but they're not bundling a license for Windows with this?
No, unfortunately they don't, because it is, I guess it's probably something between Microsoft and Parallels as far as licensing goes. They probably prefer not to. I don't know for a fact, but
they want to be paid.
Windows licensing has been pretty reasonable for the most part, especially if you need to have a Windows system. And like I said, many of us don't want to have multiple computers to be doing that stuff. Well, me, of course, I'm crazy. I do, but you can easily run Windows virtually and whatever you need. Now, a good example is like Microsoft Access. Some people need to have access to that for database programming. You can't get that on a Mac and things like that. So you may not be something you use full time, or you might be a developer or somebody who wants to go cross platform. Parallels works really well. They've really done some good, they've made some great strides. It's gone through a few owners. I know Corel bought it. Forgot the new name of the company now owns it, but they're very committed to this. And yeah, I was a little wondering if Parallels is going to survive if Microsoft didn't approve the use of ARM-based version of Windows 11. There was kind of a indirect way they were allowing to use it at first through the Insider program, but now Microsoft's officially offering it. Now there are some caveats with the ARM-based version of Windows 11. Some apps may not work. You might have to have some issues, like especially gaming. You might have some issues with video, that things like that. But that's not what not necessarily want to use virtual if you're going to be gaming. You probably want to put on a primary for that. So I think, but if you, that's the way you learn things, and being able to get into any of the OSs, and if you break it, I'll just go back and revert back to it, and it takes a couple minutes versus having to rebuild a whole system. So.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right.
I'll jump in.
Okay.
Jeff, you will be highly relieved to know that this won't cost you any money this week anyway. But I'm saving one for you, but I decided since this is a little more timely. This is a particular episode of a podcast. The podcast is by Michael Lewis, who wrote Liar's Poker, Moneyball, a lot of other business books that you're probably familiar with. He's doing something interesting right now. This podcast is on hiatus, but he's dropping some things into the feed that are part of the research for his next book, which is going to be at the be about the collapse of FTC. So it's really interesting. It's, you're getting a little bit of an inside background, kind of things that won't necessarily get into the book, but you're hearing about the interviews he's doing with people. He interviewed the author of the book that I recommended a couple of weeks ago, Tracers in the Dark. And it was a really interesting conversation about, how the book was written, but more about, again, the blockchain, Bitcoin, how one particular researcher determined that it was traceable and how that became basically a business. There's now a business oriented around tracing transactions on the blockchain. So it's not long. It's not all that geeky. So you can listen to it if you're pretty novice on this and enjoy it. But it's a really, really nice little episode. And if you're into it, you know, obviously there are other episodes, past and future, more coming. But this one, just because that was, it's almost like a companion to that book recommendation for a few weeks ago. So click the link and enjoy.
Awesome. Well, Chuck, double thank you. One, for this, because it really sounds interesting. And then two, for not spending my money. All right. Okay. So, Patrice, I think that means it's your turn.
Yeah, it's my turn. So my cool thing is Ivory, the Mastodon app. It is available on iOS. Yeah, on iOS you can get it through the App Store standard. I don't remember what it costs, to be honest. I just
Donationware.
Donationware. Okay. Then I didn't buy it. I don't even remember it. so it's Donationware, so you should definitely donate. And on the Mac, it is in test flight beta currently, but I can tell you it's also, even though it's, or alpha, actually, they're calling it, but it's quite good already.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you say? it's tap bots, right? So it's what Tweetbot was, just better, because they don't have to deal with the insane Twitter API anymore. They have a way better API with more options and so on. And yeah, they've been really, really like heavily pushing new features in and getting it ready and so on. And it's just a really good Mastodon app. So, I mean, there is a bunch of them. There's like Ice Cubes and there's Toot and there's like a million others by now, not a million, but quite a few others.
It feels like it.
So, I mean, I would simply suggest look at the one that, like, look at most of them or all of them until you find one that works for you. There's, for example, I think Mona is coming, which is from the Spring developers.
And Spring, they just opened up their beta, so anyone can be in it and not just previous Spring customers.
Exactly. So they're doing that. It's also an option. But Ivory is, for me, the best one so far, and the one I like the most. Works best for how I consume or participate in Mastodon. So yeah, Ivory, highly recommend that. And I have my own Mastodon instance at techhangout.social. If you're into that, if you're interested, if you're looking for a small instance, feel free to join it. As I said, I'm not making it super public, so it's gonna be small-ish. But like for the friends of BTN, that's totally fine.
Awesome. Patrice, go ahead, Ben.
I have to say, for me, Ivory is missing a couple features, like a quote, but it is my understanding that they're working on that.
Your understanding is correct.
Yeah, and that is, to be honest, to some extent also a Mastodon discussion still, like whether they want to allow that under which conditions and so on. So that's not just TapBot's problem, I would say.
Yeah,
I know some apps have implemented it on their own, but I think this should be a bigger thing.
Ben, I just dropped into the chat the link to the Ivory page on TapBot's website. Mm-hmm. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you can see their feature list. Mm-hmm. So,
I like that a lot. That they're also very transparent about what do they want to do and what is coming.
Yeah, Patrice, like you, Ivory right now is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running it on my iPad, my iPhone, and my Mac.
Same.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, then I guess that means it's my turn. And I really wanted to pick Star Trek Picard season 3 yesterday, but Ben took that. and it just, to me, felt kind of like cheating to pick it today. So instead, I'm picking what launched yesterday, which is Hello Tomorrow on Apple TV Plus. And Yeah, Patrice, that look on your face, totally appropriate. Just go
forgotten
watch
about it.
It.
Like, yeah.
So
yeah, I will.
Go ahead, Ben.
I will be watching that just as soon as this show is over.
And rightly so. I watched the first episode last night and then remembered that we have the show in the morning, and I wanted to make sure that I was actually up in time for the show. So I didn't watch the second two episodes because they dropped three all at once yesterday. And they're half hour episodes. And that first episode, I was just hooked immediately. And the premise of the show is that it's the future, but it's like the 1950s idea of what the future was going to be. And so the costumes totally fit with that. So, you know, it's like 1950s looking wardrobes. The robots that they have in the show totally fit that aesthetic. And the idea is that you have Billy Crudup playing the main character, and he's selling timeshares on the moon. And the cast is just fantastic. And let's see. Here's our cast. Billy Crudup, Hanifa Wood, Hank Azaria, Allison Pill, who you should remember from Star Trek Picard. And Nicholas Padney, Duchesne Williams, Jonathan Entwistle. Oh, he's producer. Oh, and Billy Crudup is producing as well. Anyhow, so it's Billy Crudup's character and the people that that are working with him to sell these timeshares. And it's absolutely wonderful. And I am really excited to sit down today, because I will just clear time today to watch the second two episodes. It is just wonderful. And hopefully it didn't cost any of you money, because you already have your Apple TV Plus subscriptions.
Only in the sense that I keep paying for it.
Apple is really good at making sure that we have good content, so we uh-huh. keep our subscriptions going. Yeah.
They like that sweet service revenue.
I am
so far behind on things to that I want to watch. And so, Jeff, you just added this to my list. So you didn't cost me money, but you cost me time.
This is time well spent, Chuck.
Time is money.
Yeah, I know. See, so then he did cost me money. So I'll get you back next week, Jeff.
I have no doubt. And I will be cursing your name as I watch those dollars fly out of my bank account.
I will consider that high praise.
Oh, high praise indeed. Yes. I will be cursing your name and loving you at the same time, because relationships are complicated. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Let's see. So we got through everyone's cool things, right? Awesome. All right. Okay. Well, then with that, thank you to all of you for being so awesome and being here today and making my Friday morning just absolutely wonderful. And Dave, I'm glad that you're able to hop in at just the perfect time, so you didn't miss out on any of the show. And that was just a fun surprise to see you, see you show up like that. And this has been absolutely great. So, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can find us talking to lots of interesting people, sort of along the line of Patrice's pick of Ivory. Jeff Gamet, who you know from the Mac show here, and Eric Bolden and I had a conversation about Mastodon. The last one of those episodes will be going live today as we record this. It's an examination of the research they've both been doing into the current crop of Mastodon clients, how quickly they're changing, how you pick an instance. It started out as just, hey, what are you guys using? And we dug deep into Mastodon. So it's a three-part series. I think you will really enjoy it. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoices TV at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. You can join us in the chat room, and we'd love to have you there. And you can find me on all the socials, including Mastodon, as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for doing the show with Eric this week.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And just so people get how fast things are changing in the Mastodon world, after we recorded the show, the Tapbots opened up a bunch of public beta slots for the Mac version of Ivory. And then, like the day after that, Mona switched to public beta for iOS and macOS for their app. And we didn't even talk about Mona on the show because it was a closed beta, so there's no point about it. And yeah, that's how fast stuff is changing. Hey, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, by the way. And everything I'm doing, all the like social media links, the podcast, the projects, including my Mastodon, all of that you can find on thepatrice.com. And as I said, if you want to join a Mastodon instance, techhangout.social. That's awesome.
Patrice, I haven't pointed out, even though we've been on a few shows at this point since your birthday,
a few, yeah,
that I love the birthday unicorns. And for those of you that are listening and not watching, behind Patrice, she has a U.S. flag on the wall, and draped across the top of the flag is like a garland, and it's unicorns, and it says happy birthday in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been that long. I only got that on Sunday. So
I feel like we've done a ton of shows already.
No, we didn't.
All right. So then I guess I didn't mention it yesterday on the Big Show, because that would have been the first time I saw
it. That's true. Yeah.
Okay. I feel a little better now. All right. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 on mastodon.cloud, as well as on Twitter, DaveG65, and on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night as well. Thanks.
Awesome. And our businessman cosplay, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. You can find me, at least in the interim, on RathigTech.blogspot.com. It's so complicated, I can't even remember my own website address.
Well, to be fair, technology, I mean, it can be complicated sometimes.
Yes, it can be.
Yeah. All right, then I believe it's down to me. I am Jay Gamet on the different socials. I am most active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And then for shows, Chuck is kind enough to let me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And Dave is kind enough to let me on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Then there's also the Big Show on Thursdays, and here on the Mac Show on Fridays. And the latest episode of The Context Machine, where it's me and Brian Chaffin, that dropped as we record late last night. So that's out. And on that one, we talk about augmented reality, but we also talk a little bit about episode one of season three of Star Trek Picard. And we go off the rails and talk about a lot of other stuff, too. Anyhow, so I'm easy to find. All right. Thank you again to all of you for just being absolutely wonderful and putting this smile on my face for Friday morning. And in the chat room, Bob Beach is saying he's surprised that I have time to eat. Bob, here's the thing. On more than one occasion, I will leave a show, run into my kitchen, make a sandwich, eat it, go back to my computer and do the next show. I am not kidding. That's actually how yesterday went. So my Thursday was pretty much just podcasting all day long. Yeah. So anyhow, all of you, you're wonderful and you're awesome. So thank you. All of you that are watching and listening live and participating in the chat room, thank you for being here. I really appreciate that you were here. And I love that we get to spend our Friday mornings together too, or Friday afternoons, wherever you might be. Everyone that tunes in to watch or listen to the recordings later on, I'm so glad that you're part of the BTN family as well. Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Ewan, thank you for just being you. And TSO host, thanks for being here and supporting us. And with that, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Join us again on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.